Good evening.
Good evening.
Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Well, here we are, and so is our Savior. We are relocated down the hall for our worship tonight, but a lot of the things that you notice in church are going to be very much the same to what you're recognizing. We're going to be following the order of service in the bulletin. There won't be any screens, so if you don't have a bulletin in your hands, put your hand up so that an usher can see you, and we'll make sure you're able to follow along with worship. We are broadcasting onto our internet feed and to our radio broadcast as well, so we're able to connect with our community. And we are so glad that you've joined us here on this Saturday night worship service, because you are our test pilots. We're going to figure out what worshiping in this space feels like. So by all means, sing along and work with the prayers as well. You can also follow the instructions to sit and stand at your discretion, with the folding chairs maybe a little bit less comfortable, but by all means, find a way to participate. Also, some housekeeping: emergency exits are behind you and to both sides, and there's restrooms on both sides as well. There's a parents' room that's the choir room off to this side of the stage. If you have any questions, connect with the usher, and we'll try to make your worship as comfortable as possible tonight. We are still celebrating Easter, even though our world seems to be gone into its own routines. We, as Christians, celebrate a season of Easter that lasts 7 weeks long. The second week of Easter shows us Jesus appearing to his disciples, offering them the proof that they need and the peace that they crave. That will be the focus of our worship tonight. As I said, we'll follow along with the service folder, and our opening hymn is number 444, Jesus Lives, the Victory's Won. God's richest blessings on our worship.
please stand. We begin with words that remind us of our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O risen Lord, you came to your disciples and took away their fears with your word of peace. Come to us also by word and sacrament, and banish our fears with the comforting assurance of your abiding presence. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Each of the three lessons that serve as the foundation for worship this weekend give us proof positive of Jesus' life and resurrection, and in so doing bring us a great deal of peace as well. The first lesson is from the book of Acts, chapter 18. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius, the emperor, had ordered all Jews to leave Rome. Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia, Paul devoted himself exclusively to preaching, testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. But they opposed Paul and became abusive. And so he shook out his clothes in protest and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent of it. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then Paul left the synagogue and went next door to the house of Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed and were baptized. One night, the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. "Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one is going to attack and harm you, because I have many people in this city." So Paul stayed in Corinth for a year and a half, teaching them the word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's join together to sing Psalm 16 as you find it on page 10. After I introduce the refrain to you, I invite you to join to sing it and to repeat the refrains as indicated.
You will show me the path of life and guide me to joy forever. You will show me the path of life and guide me to joy forever.
The second reading is from the first letter of St. John in chapter 1. These words also serve as the basis for tonight's sermon. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel and join in the gospel acclamation. For the second Sunday of the Easter season is recorded in John chapter 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. We'll join to sing, "O Sons and Daughters of the King." Hymn 456 is on page 15.
Oh, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your fellow worshipers, our risen Lord. Amen. They could not think of it anymore. The memories that kept them up at night, it haunted them each and every moment of the day. Just imagine how those disciples must have felt on that very first Easter evening. Things seemed to be going in such an upward trajectory, but then soon chaos ensued. Their leader, Jesus, he rode into Jerusalem on a high note to those songs of praise, to those songs of thanks, to the hosannas coming from all the people who lined the streets. But soon, those shouts turned to accusations and crucify. And then they heard how Jesus was buried. All but one of those disciples found the courage to go and watch their good friend and their Savior suffer and die upon the cross. When they should have stood, they folded. When they should have been with their Savior, they abandoned him, yet he did not abandon them. For 3 days, fear ate away at those disciples, but then Jesus came and he pronounced peace. He pronounced joy to them. The Lord offers proof of life through his witnesses so that we might share in his fellowship. A lot had changed for the Apostle John. Once he huddled together with the other disciples behind locked doors in fear of what the Jews were going to do to him, and all of a sudden, Jesus appeared right there in their midst. Joy filled their heart. Their hopes, which once were dashed, now had risen again. They saw the proof of Jesus. And even if they doubted, Jesus said, "Here it is. Look at my hands. Look at where the nails pierced. Look at my side. See where the spear went through." Those rumors the women had told earlier in the morning turned out to be true. When they went to the tomb and they didn't see the body there, but they see the grave clothes, now their expectation met reality. Jesus was risen, standing right there, offering proof of life. And now John, no longer afraid, he wanted to share that joy with everyone. And so we fast forward a few years, the time when John wrote his first epistle. We hear that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. Think of all the things John and the other disciples saw. They heard Jesus teaching. They saw Jesus feed the 5,000. They saw the blind receive their sight. They saw Jesus, the nail marks in his hands, the spear wound in his side. And now John wanted to testify to others about him. John had no doubts that Jesus was alive. John had no doubts that those promises would remain true. And he did not want his readers to have any doubts either. And so he retold his eyewitness account. They could believe him because John saw it with his own eyes. They could believe him because through his witnesses, Jesus offered proof of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Jesus was much different than all those who had come before him. To all those who had claimed to be a Savior, they were still in their graves. To all those who had taught so great of things, well, many of their teachings died out when they died from this earth. Ah, but this word of life, this one who was from the beginning, who was with God, he appeared. He came down to this world. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross. There he suffered, and there he rose again. So John said, listen to my words. Listen to my words. Receive the peace and the joy that I have in my heart. If Jesus did not rise, John might as well just stay in the locked room. If Jesus did not come offering proof of his life, John would not have to write down any words because it really wouldn't matter. But yet Jesus rose. He came showing proof of life, and now through his witnesses, they write down those wonderful words for us. But sometimes do we wish that we could see the risen Lord? Oh, we just need to catch a little glimpse. If only he would come here today and show us his hands where the nails were and show us his side, it would provide so much more peace, it would provide so much more comfort in this life, because now we feel all alone. And sometimes maybe we think our problems are so much bigger than God and his power is. Each and every one of us goes through those times of doubt. The pain of a job loss. And all of a sudden, the reality hits and we wonder, how am I ever going to be able to provide for my family? How am I going to pay for the basic necessities that I need? The hurt of broken relationships. Time where we spoke words in anger. Where instead of listening, we started talking before understanding the whole situation. And the bond which once was so tight, we slowly started to see unravel before our eyes, wondering how is it ever going to survive. The scares that we encounter in our life. Time the doctor comes, and maybe it's either to us or to a friend or to a loved one, and he says, I'm sorry, but I have some bad news for you. The sicknesses, the illnesses that we have to face. Or maybe it's the loneliness that we have in our heart, the time that we grieve, the time that we feel sad because of a loved one or a friend who has gone to their heavenly home. If only to see the risen Lord. If only we could put our hands in his nail wounds. If only we could touch his side. And like the disciples, soon we want to lock ourselves in a room and never come out. But even though we don't physically see our Lord and Savior, we still see him. He comes and he offers proof of his life through his witnesses. To the words written for us on the pages of Holy Scripture. We see our Lord in all of his glory. He comes to us in our times of hurt and he says, remember what I did for you. Remember how I suffered upon the cross that you might have peace. The times where we struggle with our sins, he comes and he says, here's what I did for you. I bled so that your sins might be forever washed away. In those times of loneliness, he comes and he says, do not doubt. I haven't left. I'm not still in the grave, but I have arisen, and I'm going to be by your side, and I'm going to walk with you each and every step of the way. Jesus, he offers his proof of life through his witnesses so that we might have the peace and joy in our heart that they did. It's also so that we might share the fellowship that they enjoyed. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The disciples, they knew Jesus well. For 3 years, they walked around with him, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They were right there by his side. They shared that intimate fellowship with him. They knew him like no one else. But they knew it wasn't just an earthly friendship either, but it was the fellowship that they had through faith. The fellowship that they shared, the triune God. The fellowship that you and I also have. See, John, Paul, Peter, Luke, Matthew, Mark, they all wrote down those words through inspiration because they wanted their joy to be complete. They wanted our joy to be complete. They wanted to point us to our Lord and Savior who lived, who died, and who rose for us. We share in that wonderful fellowship with all the saints. We share in that fellowship with our Lord and Savior who offers his proof of life. And so we rejoice. We rejoice because we have peace. But yet sometimes maybe we still doubt. How do we know it's all true? How do we know that the Bible holds the truth rather than all those other words out there, all those other thoughts, all those other ways that people try to tell us on how to get to salvation? Because we have a Savior who rose. He's not in the grave like any other religious leader. His words will never die out. His words are living and active. His words will always be there to help us and to support us. We often say, seeing is believing. If something sounds too good to be true, we think to ourselves, it probably is. And for the world, they can think that about the Easter message. It just sounds too good to be true that our Lord and Savior had risen. It sounds too good to be true that him who was crucified, who died such a gruesome death, would rise again. But Jesus, he offers proof through his witnesses. His witnesses that wrote down those words through inspiration by the Holy Spirit so that you and I could still read them and still know that truth today. He offers that proof so that we might have fellowship with him and with everyone else. Jesus offers proof of life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We join in confessing our faith in our risen and victorious Lord and Savior with the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's on page 17 in your worship folder. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the prayer of the church. You'll notice that during the offering, you won't have the connection cards in your chairs. They're located on the tables. You can fill one out afterwards if you have not. There's also the QR code. You can do that on your phone as well.
Let us pray. Lord of life, fill our hearts with joy during this Easter season, for you have risen and conquered the grave. Imprint the message of your victory on our hearts and implant it in our minds. Through the good news of your resurrection, renew our hope and revive our faith. By baptizing us into your name, you have connected us to your death and rising. You have put our sin to death and have given us new lives. Enable us each day to think of ourselves as dead to sin and alive to you, that we may walk in the newness of life in everything we do. Within this fallen world, O Lord, death and sorrow surround us. Touch the hearts of those who grieve the loss of a Christian they love. Direct their eyes to your empty tomb and ease their pain by reminding them that their loved ones will one day rise again. Lord, so many people in our world grieve without hope. Use the message of your resurrection to reach them and awaken faith in their hearts. Use us as your instruments to bring the word of life to their souls and the message of hope to their hearts. Stay at the side of all who are suffering. In your wise mercy, heal those who are sick, receiving treatment for illness, recovering from illness or surgery, or hurting in their bodies or minds. Remind them that your victory over death is a fact, and comfort them with your promise to raise and give them and all believers new glorified bodies like yours. Risen Savior, feed our faith with the message of your resurrection. Come to us in your word and in your sacraments to sustain and strengthen us until we feast with you in eternal glory. Amen. We'll gather the offering. Our next hymn is This Joyful Eastertide. It's on page 19. We'll join to sing the three stanzas of that hymn. closing prayers on page 20. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the three verses of our closing hymn, number 511, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Wasn't so hard, was it? It makes us think of all the Christians who gather in gymnasiums and hotel lobbies and even mission churches with dirt floors. And we've got such a great opportunity to gather together in a beautiful space such as this to be fed by God's word and reminded of his sacramental truth. What a great joy to be in God's house. The folding chairs are not going to be here forever. These are a temporary solution. We have a new set of chairs that are being shipped to us that'll be the new dining hall chairs. I have a sample of what one will be like over on that side of the building. Those are due to arrive sometime next week or at the latest the week after that. And we're waiting because we needed to get the non-skid feet on the bottom of them. They're on their way from California. So that kind of discomfort is going away pretty soon. We'll be in this kind of a setting for the next 6 months about. As our construction project is underway, our goal is to achieve the completion of that by about Thanksgiving time, this coming November. In the coming weeks, we're going to have a bunch of updates kind of up on the screen. We'll have a big bulletin board out in the hallway that'll give you pictures from inside the construction site, because we're not supposed to go up there unless you have all the hard hat and gear on. But I wanted to give you a couple of updates as to what's been happening. On Monday this past week, we had almost 50 volunteers turn up. We got the pews removed, half of which were taken up by our sister congregation, St. Paul's in Clintonville. They needed new pews, so they grabbed ours, which was great to have them in fellowship helping us with that. The altar and the statue of Jesus were carefully dismantled. The statue is still on site. The altar was dismantled and is in a dry, safe storage here in the New London area. We're assessing it for its historical use, and we may be reconfiguring that for use in our museum. And then the Myron team has been upstairs. The windows are all covered over with the protective paneling so that there's no injury to any of the millwork or the windows in there. And the plumbing, the mechanical systems, the air conditioning, that's all been torn out. So they're reconfiguring all the electrical and plumbing and some of those features inside of the building. If you have any questions, we'll do this. I'll have Pastor Dorn over on that side shaking hands. I'll be over here by our swanky chair that's coming. And if you have questions about the renovation project, come on over and I'll see if I can give you answers. And then also, if you have any recommendations about worship comfort in here, more piano or less piano, hard to hear, more microphone or less microphone, come over and chat with me, and I'll try to get a chance to take any notes of how we might critique this for more ease of use. Those are, one final announcement. We issued a call for a fourth grade teacher. Mr. Luke Ziemer is serving currently in Arizona, and he's accepted our call. So we have a new call worker coming this summer. You're members of Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School on March 18th. Your council extended a call to me to serve in your ministry as fourth grade teacher. I'm humbled by your decision to extend this call to me and thankful for all your prayers and support as I've deliberated this call. I'm especially thankful to all of you who reached out to me to share your thoughts. After weeks of deliberating, I believe the Lord has guided me to accept the call and join the ministry at Emmanuel. I pray that together we can gather more into God's kingdom. I ask that you pray for your brothers and sisters here in Peridot, Arizona, and their work that's being done. I look forward to the ministry work that we can accomplish together in Christ, Mr. Luke Ziemer. So Mr. Ziemer and his wife and their two young sons are going to be relocating this summer, so keep an eye out for more information. Those are all the announcements for me. Did I forget anything? God's richest blessings to all of you throughout the coming weeks. Take a moment to greet someone nearby you. Thank you.